Father, we come to you this morning a body with many different needs. We have those that are sick, needing help, those that are tired, needing rest, those hurting, comfort, anxious, relief, and those that are lonely, seeking fellowship. Lord, we are all seeking and needing you. We ask that you minister to these needs as our Heavenly Father. We are thankful for the love and the many ways you express that love to us, and for all the many opportunities this day and this week hold for us to learn more about you and draw closer to you through that knowledge. Most important of all, Lord, we thank you for loving us enough to send your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We come to worship not because it is a duty, but because it is a delight. Not because a minister calls us, but because God has called to us. Not to display to the world our fine garb, but to witness to the world our faith in God. Not to smirk at others because of our goodness, but to search together for God's righteousness. Not to be complimented for our proficiency, but to hear the word speak to our deficiency. Not to listen as others are condemned, but to be told how we have sinned. Not to be satisfied with knowing religious rules, but to surrender all to the kingdom's rule. Not to take away whatever God will give us, but to go away fitted for service. We would encounter the God who searches for us. A call to purpose this morning focuses on the practical dimensions of Christian service, that which we come together to seek as Christian ministers, preparing to serve in ever-widening dimensions in this creation. We focus this day on some of the issues which have been raised over the last 2 years among our student body, issues which have been raised in the practical dimensions of ministry. Each year, for the past 6 years, we have begun to focus during the spring conference on some of these dimensions of ministry. We do this in several ways. One of the ways that we have done through many years now is through our spring lecture series. We will have with us tomorrow and Thursday Dr. James Fowler, professor of theology and human development at Emory University, author of Stages of Faith, will be bringing our spring lectures. We also have several persons on our campus this year. As you know, this conference is sponsored in cooperation with the Sunday School Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. We have some persons representing that agency, and I would like to introduce them to you at this time. Following this session this morning, they will be over in Mackey Hall in a display area. The Student Council and the Sunday School Board and host and hostesses from the student body, along with these persons, would like to be your host for break this morning, tomorrow morning. They will have donuts and drinks over there. You'll have opportunity to talk with these persons, as well as participate in conferences with them this afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and this evening. Let me introduce them to you so that you will know them as you see them around campus. I'll ask them to stand as I call their names. Elaine Dixon. She is author of Say No, Say Yes to Change, that very interesting book that some of you have been studying in your churches, and she will be having some conferences along that line, as well as some of the professional issues relating to women in ministry. Thank you, Elaine. Dr. Wesley Forbus. Wesley, would you stand for us? He is secretary of the Church Music Department for the Sunday School Board and directs the program of church music for Southern Baptist. This is our first major conference and emphasis on music ministry, church music. Dr. Johnson, Dr. Good, and Dr. Hahn have asked Dr. Forbus to be with us this week, and we will be having some special emphases on music ministry in the local church. Dr. John Hendricks. John was here during our first spring conference in 1978 and is back here for a return engagement. John, it's a delight to have you back. The only person who's been here for the spring conference who's had a return engagement. Dr. Hendricks is Director of Curriculum Design, Program Planning for the Christian Development area of work in our convention through the Church Training Department. He's author of Experiential Education, Nexus, and his latest book, To Thessalonians with Love, among others. Linda Thompson. Linda is responsible for designing most of the literature, displays, and things that are in state conventions and at the Southern Baptist Convention on behalf of the Sunday School Board. And I invited her to come over here and meet our student body this year and be over in our display area and get to know us, and you get to know her. She will also be having some conferences relating to curriculum materials, display materials, and so forth. Later on this afternoon, we will also be having a specialist come in, Mr. Mike Overcash, who works with church computer software and church computers. He will be setting up a display area in the library, which you will have opportunity to see and to participate in. I hope you have a good week. We approach this from a standpoint of equipping ourselves for Christian ministry, but we also approach it from a perspective of Christian worship, adoration for the possibility of greater and more creative Christian service on behalf of the ministers in this institution.
Our scripture lesson this morning can be found in Paul's letters to the Galatians and Paul's letters to the Corinthians. First, Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul writes, "For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." Paul's letter to the Corinthians. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves and or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit."
Matthew 16, verse 18a. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The great London fire blazed in 1666. Sir Christopher Wren sought to build St. Paul's in his crowning effort to restore London. He took Queen Anne to view the magnificent structure 44 years after the fire in 1710. The Queen chose four words to describe her reaction: awful, amusing, artificial, the work of an amateur. 273 years have passed since the Queen saw St. Paul's and made those comments. Language changes. 2 1/4 centuries have completely caused those words to turn topsy-turvy in their meaning. How do you hear the Queen's comments? Awful. She meant full of awe. Awesome. Amusing, she meant amazing. Artificial, the Queen meant filled full of art and artistry. The work of an amateur, the Queen's highest compliment to Sir Christopher, because an amateur for her was one who acts out of sheer love. The motivation, not pay nor necessity. The motivation, joy, simply the joy of doing a thing. I say words change with the passage of time. When Jesus Christ said what he said in St. Matthew chapter 16, he used a word that had been around in the language for many, many, many centuries, ekklesia. So the word ekklesia was not especially new. What was new was the pronoun in front of it. My ecclesia, my church. Words change, but none more frequently nor completely than the word church. It means building, so much so that a pastor in South Carolina told me once that God had really blessed him. He'd called him to a brick church. It means meeting or fellowship or organization or organism or place. I recall Fort Valentine's comment, John, before the Interagency Council during a discussion of the church training slogan a few years ago, Church, the Sunday Night Place to Be. Foy, in his typical way of punching holes in whatever he's punching, said, well, I always thought the church was God's kind of folks, not a place to go. I say the word church has many meanings, and it changes meanings frequently, even in seminarians' use of it. Churches are measured many ways, statistically and otherwise. They are said to grow numerically and they are said to grow spiritually. Churches, like individuals, take their journeys inward and outward. And that is what this spring conference really is all about. It is about the inclusive dimension of both being church and of growing church. And it is underscoring the very true fact, according to the New Testament, there is no way of growing church without growing God's kind of people who are the church. There are more than 40 different kinds of organized Baptist churches in these United States. There are lots of Baptist this and Baptist that sorts of churches. And they are, by their nature, prolific. They tend to reproduce themselves rapidly. Basically, there are three types of these Baptist churches. Those who perceive themselves as belonging to the people, those who perceive themselves as belonging to the pastor, and those who perceive themselves as belonging to the Lord. Consider the people's church. This is one in which everything, lock, stock, barrel, ramrod, and greasy rag in the minds of the people belong to the people. The pastor and the staff, if there are any, are unmistakably hired hands to the congregation and are treated that way. The people tell the pastor what to do and when and where to do it. He has no freedom in the pulpit and no authority in the church conference. He must try to please all the people all the time and frequently pleases none of them any of the time. Generally, the people pull the church in every direction except together. They make the Rock of Ages a pile of assorted gravel, and the best they offer up to God is chaos in the name of the Lord. Consider the pastor's church. Here, the pastor is not only the preacher, he is also the boss. He has the whole church in his hand. He tells the people what to do, when, and how to do it. Often he owns the church property, thus affirming by records in the county courthouse that it really is his church. He frequently feeds the people huge chunks of information or misinformation, thus protecting them from outside influences. Opposition is dealt with quickly and firmly. The church is built around his personality. As he goes, so goes the church. And alas, when he goes, frequently there and then also goes the church. Consider the Lord's church. Here, Jesus Christ really is head of the body. He is becoming Lord of this church. He has staked his sovereign claims on the people, and they know it. They feel every day they live a touch on the shoulder. The pastor recognizes his role to be prophet, priest, and preacher under the lordship of Jesus. The people recognize their role to be the people of God, warts and all, growing together in the fellowship because they know that the Lord Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is profoundly his church then, not the pastor's, not theirs, but the Lord's. The pastor and the people worship together, work together, and grow together. Of course, they disagree, they debate, discuss, decide, but they do it under mandate and in love. They are together, but they are never alike. They don't have to be. Their diversity flavors and cements their unity in Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you, which type of church do you want to be? Perhaps I have caricatured all three types a bit, but generally it is the truth. Among Baptists, especially with our free church theology and our congregational ecclesiology, all three types do develop and do proliferate. The first two forms of church will never flourish in doing the Lord's work in this world. These are leagues removed from everything I read the New Testament to say about my ecclesia, as Jesus talks about it in Matthew 16. The people's church and the pastor's church are facsimiles. Jesus' church is the real thing. Only the Lord's church, comprised by the Lord's people, who perceive to be themselves on mission in the world, will be the people of God who grow churches while growing themselves. This spring conference is designed to point some ways that people grow and thus churches become. I hope all of us take advantage of it, the opportunities that it will provide us. Lots of hard work by a great number of people have gone into it, but it is work that is the work of stewards, work that is offered up as an appropriate part of our worship of the Lord whose church it is. The hymn we're about to sing has a ringing first stanza. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Let's sing it.
Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, take our hands and our hearts, our minds and our souls, and bless them to the glory of your name. We thank you for this spring conference. We thank you for those people for which this conference is intended. We thank you for those stewards who are going to help us make this conference a success. Remembering always that everything we do is to the glory of you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and be gracious unto you. May the Lord smile upon you and give you his peace. Amen.